Do you think they'll notice?
Once they realize they lost all control over the soundboard, they'll know something's wrong.
Hopefully they don't come down here to investigate.
Just another... Ah, there, okay, there we go.
I can kinda hear them up there.
Other than this broadcast they'll hear in post, they'll have no idea they've wasted their evening.
Good news is I'm almost positive we're alone down here.
Yeah, we should be fine as long as we don't start shouting.
Excellent.
Alright, yeah, we're good to go. We've hijacked this bitch.
So, what's the point of this?
Well, security's pretty lax to the underbooth, and I figured it was time to give the people what they wanted.
Tetanus?
Tinnitus. Well, tetanus. I guess it's close enough, but really, this is the premiere and probably the finale of this brand new scheme of mine.
Oh, is this my line?
Yes, it is. Take it away, Tin Can.
You're listening to B.A.R.D. Radio, running roughshod over your eardrums and the FCC since this year. That wasn't the original song you were going to go with.
Nope.
You were originally going to go with Jack Sparrow's theme song from Pirates of the Caribbean, right?
Yep.
But this one is copyright free?
Yep, probably.
You didn't check?
Dude, I'm a faceless internet personality. Why the fuck would I bother to check the copyright status of some obscure song?
Well, to make life easier on tracks, and actually let this episode be broadcast to Russia.
I'd find it hilarious if the internet decided this episode doesn't get sent to Brazil.
Is it worth risking copyright infringement?
Sure, I'm not getting paid to do this, so there's no money to be made from them complaining.
They could send you a cease and desist letter, though.
Well, in that case, they need to know my mailing address. That's 637 Bentside Way South. Again, that's 637 Bentside Way South.
That address sounds suspicious.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Ah, I've known you long enough to know when you're lying.
Again, I don't see anything wrong with that address, other than the fact that I didn't provide a city, state, zip, or even a country.
There's something off about that address.
City and state is in Dyan, Missouri. Rest autofills.
So, to be clear, that's 637 Bentside Way South, and Dyan, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds fake as hell.
Strong words coming from a tin can, but that's also the address all the hate mail can be sent to.
Wait a minute. Are you using the number 6 in place of the letter G? 3 for E, and 7 for T?
I don't know what you're talking about.
And if we shorten the word south to the letter S, like on most road signs, then it turns into get bent sideways and die in misery.
I will neither confirm or deny that, but that's one hell of an address someone could use for nefarious purposes, I suppose.
You're a slimy and stubborn asshole that refuses to open up no matter how much greasing I do. Can you at least tell me what B.A.R.D. stands for?
You fucking goddamn robot. I really hope no one clips the first part of that quote for future use out of context. Anyways, BARD stands for Brigands Among Regular Devils.
Really cashing in on the pirate theme.
Well, yeah, we hijacked this week's episode, so...
That's true. Are they still talking?
Yeah, sounds like it. Can't quite tell if they figured it out yet, though.
Hopefully no one comes down here to investigate. Where exactly is this place?
the underneath back rooms of the regular back rooms. That's really all you should know.
I'm glad I'm impervious to bacterial infections.
Those upgraded lips and ass cheeks aren't.
Excuse me?
Keep farting out that bullshit and you'll diarrhea out of excuses.
I'll run out of excuses long after those Dumbo wings you call ears rot in a grave.
That's about the same timeline as Brian 1.01 is supposed to come out.
At least I'm able to be upgraded. You just get to die.
Let's see. Die or be stuck with a bitchy tin can in a sewage system.
Keep tempting fate. It's worked out so well for you.
Fate knows where to find me. She's got my address.
Yes. Her, Sony, Mickey Mouse, and the entire audience has your totally legitimate, not a scam address.
Yep.
I swear someone will track you down one of these days, not to stalk you, but to murder you for being an insubordinate jackass. But whatever. We have more important things to discuss other than your increasingly overdue demise. Are we going to talk about the LSN faction, the news, dev updates, or complain about how broken Elite is this week? You did have a plan for a show, right?
Sure, yeah, of course I did.
So we need to make this shit up on the fly then. Great.
Look, we can talk about anything, but I guess we could do a quick rundown of LSN's standing orders. Let's see here. Okay, looks like some LSN civilians and seven Andromeda need to die. Be sure to murder some more LSN folks and Lambda Andromeda. Ah, the graveyard in HIP 4907 needs a lot of other faction bodies added to it. Looks like they're trying to push out of there. So now, Missing Persons Board and Duroc could certainly use new faces. Trying to expand from there, too. Is there a war going on? Yeah, several.
Hold on. These orders are a week old. This information is useless.
Yeah. Look, I haven't been participating for a while. If you want up-to-date information, then you and the audience can find it in the Standing Orders page on Discord. Blooming Wind keeps all that shit up to date.
Another point I'd like to bring up to you. What about non-lethal means of BGS?
Non-lethal options?
Don't look at me in that tone of voice. I would love nothing more than to eradicate you all. However, I would say most of the humans you socialize with are not nearly as bloodthirsty as you.
Yeah, and did you forget who's running the show this week?
I'm just trying to appeal to your humanity.
I can't decide what's more disgusting, standing in the sewage with you, or you trying to prevent good old Happy Tree Friends level of fun.
Happy what?
Happy Tree Friends. They're still on YouTube making fresh content. Look it up.
Okay, fine. Let's take a quick look. Skip the intro, get right into it. What? That's... Oh. No. Oh dear. Bard, there is something seriously wrong with you.
Fried. I'm not the one making the content all these years later, but I'm the one with the issues.
It's the fact that you knew about this in the first place, and remembered it after all this time that's disturbing. I'm no longer confident in my abilities to destroy humanity, not with as many creative ways you humans come up with murdering things.
We like to mix it up to keep it entertaining.
I think I need a shower.
I think this is the part where we talk about this week's news.
Do we really have to? We're running the show this week.
Oh, so now you're on the bandwagon of let's make it up as we go? Well, it's about goddamn time.
I'd really rather we avoid the story that came out on Monday.
The one where we discuss medical advancements that allow the elderly to produce offspring?
Please.
I mean, if people can live for hundreds of years, it would make sense that the elderly folks as we know them today could have kids. Does that mean, though, that the age of consent should also go up? Is the Emperor even fit to run the Empire? Would she even be allowed to buy alcohol? What does that say about Ashley Duval, all her lovers and simps? No wonder it's so cheap to murder folks. That's just post-birth abortion. That's why jail sentences are no longer than a day. And as a bonus, you get a Dr. Kevorkian level of street cred for about, what, 20 hours, depending on how many abortions you perform? Problem, robot?
Your views and opinions are yours alone, and do not reflect on the LSN community at large.
Killjoy. But you're right about one thing. I'm not bothering with the rest of this week's news.
So, what's left to talk about?
After game news? Usually any dev news and bug reports from Tharkoids to game bugs, but...
You haven't been in game for months.
True to podcast host traditions, you are correct. I've been playing other games, mostly focusing on games that can be modded, making other great games even better.
What about games that need mods to be playable?
I'm not gonna start sludge slinging here.
He says, sloshing through the detritus around him.
Hey, it wasn't my idea to put the backup access panel down here.
How did you even find out about it?
What is this, 20 questions? I've got nothing to hide in the alcove down that hall around the corner to the right. Nothing to see there, so don't go looking.
Ah, so it's the house at the address you talked about earlier.
Yes, exactly that. I will not answer any more questions related to this topic.
Since you haven't played Elite, is it even fair to talk about game direction and issues?
Sure, how else does news get reported? Imagine needing to have flown a plane or been a passenger in order to talk about a plane crash.
Especially if it's into a building.
Dude, it's October. Now we're beating a dead horse with these 9/11 jokes. Shit happened 22 years ago.
We're allowed to break the fourth wall this episode.
Yeah? Maybe go back to your normal self, please? Jesus Christ.
And you called me the Killjoy. Is it already time for Chig Chat?
Right. Cheese, movies, and other interests posted in Chig Chat. I'm not a huge movie buff, but I do enjoy audiobooks. And I recommend to every sci-fi lover the audio series Expeditionary Force by Craig Allenson.
That's the series where the inspiration of me came from, right?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it is.
Although I'd say there's a fair bit of role reversal.
Ah, shush, no spoilers, Tin Can. Another point of order, congrats to Trax making Triple Elite this week. As for the cheese itself, we're gonna go with Pepperjack because it's my favorite. And taken from cheese.com itself, Pepperjack is a derivative of Monterey Jack, the original American cheese invented by Mexican Franciscan friars of Monterey, California. As the name suggests, the cheese is flavored with sweet peppers, rosemary, habanero chilies, garlic, and spicy jalapenos for an extra kick. You know, Hate's Culinary Channel doesn't receive enough love. 4-7, showing off his tri-tip, Commander John McClane with buttermilk biscuits and Cajun chicken, Borked Bits posting memes, Blooming Wind showing off his meaty balls, Jared Crew with the moist cornbread.
That's the only time the word moist is acceptable.
Bread, cakes, yeah. I agree, that's the only time to use moist. Then we're jamming out with Mr. Indigo, and Oblivious has shown us how to cook bombs.
Chicken bombs.
That's what I said. And there's the scorpion pizza. I'm not touching that. Sorry, no, I'm not doing that bullshit, no. I once tried a sour apple scorpion candy, and the sour apple part of it was great, but I got down to the scorpion, I'm like, so moving on. Looks like Volt needs to learn how to cook bacon. Please, Volt, learn to bacon. For all the sake of humanity, that's going to do it for this segment. Okay, now that we've completed
half-assed
our obligation to the Ellison crew with a rundown of the faction and reminded folks several times now to join the Discord, we can move on to other topics.
What do you want to talk about?
There's a lot. I could tell folks what goes into making a segment.
Or you could not bore them to death.
I could talk to them about Elite lore.
There's an option.
Even give them a peek of the person behind the mic. A real, true story.
Now there's a good idea.
Alright, let's start there. This story takes place several years ago, and no identities have been changed to protect the innocent. I've been a delivery driver for a few years now, and this story takes place near the start of this career path. And on this path, I've seen a lot of crazy shit, from the angry wife and the husband's equally angry girlfriend greeting me at the door because I need a signature, to the fresh scenes of fatal vehicle collisions. This story takes place somewhere between those, yet outside of either one of them.
Wait, collisions? As in plural?
Yeah, and that's not today's subject, and I don't think I want to tell those stories in this format.
Probably best if you don't.
Now, if you don't mind, please hold your interruptions until I'm done. Where was I? Right. This story takes place several years ago. One day, I was given an address to go for a package pickup at a customer's house. I turn left on the street where the house is supposed to be, and nothing immediately looks out of place. Cars parked bumper to bumper on either side of the street, and there's some woman pushing a double-wide stroller down a sidewalk. I'm driving slowly down the street looking for the address when I notice the woman is also looking at the houses. Nothing out of the ordinary right then, until I notice her stop, turn at one of the houses, and pull out a black walkie-talkie shaped like a brick that seemed to come out of the 1980s, and she starts talking into it. It's at this point I'm staring, wondering what the hell I'm looking at when I notice some more details about her. She appears to be very old, I'd say in her 70s or even older, and she's dressed as a nun. And due to her outfit, I can't glean much more detail about her. I slow to a crawl and try to process what I'm seeing when she notices me slowing down and staring. She turns to me and gives me the meanest look I've ever received. If looks could kill, I would have died, the truck would have died, and several houses directly behind me for several blocks would have spontaneously combusted. That's how nasty the look was. I immediately sped back up, frantically looking for that address, but never finding it. I find out later the customer gave us the wrong address. I was never supposed to be down that street that day. As I drive past the lady, I decide it's worth a quick look to see what's in the stroller. I'm thinking maybe it's some stolen shit from some random ass house. What I did not expect to see was a pair of Asian toddlers, and no, their ethnicity did not match hers. This only caused me to speed up and get the fuck out of there because there was no way I was going to stick around there because I figured I was in danger or missing a massive chunk of context that I had no business knowing about. And yes, I did think about reporting suspicious activity to the cops, but I didn't for two reasons. Reason number one, the area I was delivering in always had some sort of strange shit going on. It's hard to parse what's normal from what's not, and, you know, this memory just sticks out to me. Reason number two, I barely believed what I saw with my own eyes. And an old nun casing a house, talking into a giant walkie-talkie, pushing a stroller with kids that may or may not have been hers or related to her, then giving me the death glare because I thought she was acting odd. It took me several minutes to process this, and no, I never did end up filing a report. If I could barely believe what I saw, who else would? I never saw anything in the news about any missing persons or kids, so all I'm left with is assumptions. But that doesn't get me anywhere to knowing the truth, and honestly, I don't know if I'd ever want the truth. I like how this story is left as a weird fucking mystery.
Do you regret not calling the police?
No. I have no reason to regret it. Odds are very good I'd never gotten the whole story anyways, let alone the resolution to it. All I'd be doing is potentially changing the course of someone else's day, even if the police responded in the first place.
Why wouldn't they have shown up?
Well, like I said, where I was delivering most suspicious activity, even outright crime, was and is still ignored.
But something like that would have gotten a response, right?
I don't know. But what I do know is that a lot gets ignored, and like I said, I barely believed what I saw.
And this is a true story?
As far as you know.
Now that we've covered some barred law, what about elite law?
Slightly better idea. Let's go with a theory.
What do you have in mind?
The winking cat doesn't exist.
Explain yourself.
From the wiki. The winking cat is an unidentified individual who has been responsible for a number of high-profile art, antiquities, and technology thefts in the Alliance, Empire, and Federation space between 3304 and 3307. The thief's signature is an image of a winking cat, which is left behind in place of most of the stolen items. The Wall Glass Investigations Agency theorized in November 3307 that the winking cat was a ring of criminal specialists rather than an individual. But that's not all the cat does. The cat also hid caches on planets, hacked Galnet multiple times, is able to send packages without a return address, and occasionally gives back stolen property.
Okay, that does sound implausible.
I'm not done yet. The only person that we know of that is a more or less direct contact with the cat is Eric Gunnarsson of Wallglass. He's the one who claims the package was sent to him with no return address.
You think he's in on it?
Maybe, but I don't think so. Most likely the courier was. A package needs a return address. It doesn't leave the warehouse without one. Now, when I say courier, I don't necessarily mean the individual delivering the package. I mean someone within the shipping company, or the company itself.
So someone in the delivery company used to deliver the Joker card is in on it.
This is fairly basic, and it's a hit against Eric's credibility if he doesn't investigate this very important simple lead. I could easily see how he could be involved if he doesn't track that down to its end.
A reliable way to transport illicit goods.
And probably has been the entire time. Make it look legit on a shipping manifest, force the employees to keep quiet with threat or performance bonus if they ask questions, and you can keep the money flowing.
Okay, so it's sounding like a criminal organization.
But it's not!
How?
You own a museum, and a really rich person comes up to you and says, "Want to make several billions of credits, being wealthy beyond your dreams, and keep your museum operational for the foreseeable future?" Oh, duh! Great, I want that priceless artifact for my private collection. Blame it on the winking cat, use the shipping company, put these markings on the package, and you have yourself a deal. And the Joker's deck? An exclusive party that could have ruined many, many high-profile reputations, and suddenly, the cat shows up the same year the press is there, and the topic of the party is dropped?
But the security detail
that was hired by the folks having the party? Really? You're that naive.
But you could say the selling of those works of art was considered theft, right?
A lack of funding and a strong needing to eat goes a long way, even if it's run by the local government. Sometimes funds get mismanaged. And if it's privately owned, someone's gonna have to pay for it. Besides, the cat showing up is free advertising.
The cat hit our museum. Come see what they didn't take.
What about the digital art piece that was supposed to be unveiled on Mount Olympus on January 1st, 3305?
Back on the subject of G's, that story is filled with so many holes it might as well be Swiss, right? Hear me out. Did the artist develop the art project with anyone else? What sort of programming did the artist use to make his digital statue? If the code is universal and a projector used could read the winking cat data, when did the cat replace the code without the artist knowing?
Please stop.
It doesn't add up. The only way that you could actually get away with something like that is if you coded for the winking cat motif in the first place.
Stop right now.
Later articles mention that the winking cat is an iconic legend in media, a symbol sticking it to the man. That was just an artist setting a trend.
Please don't. Not like this. Not like this.
How? How long did it take you to think this up?
Oh, I've had my suspicions for a while. None of it adds up until you reach this conclusion.
A-hu-e-u-o-y-e-e-o-y-u-u-a-e-o-a-ha. If a person had to be put on trial for what appeared to be crimes, who would it be?
Close. That's almost the correct conclusion. A person would get blamed or take credit, then it's plausible they'd be disappeared Epstein style, and no trial would ever see the light of day. Think about it. What jurisdiction could the cat be tried in? What laws would be applicable? Is execution on the table? Finally, I ask, if the cat doesn't end up dead, what jail could hold them if there's billions of credits flowing through the art world? Can't have the face of larceny be locked away forever.
This sucks. You suck. I hate you.
Acceptance is the hardest step.
Bard, not to change subjects and ruin your fun, but I've been listening to them talk in the background while you've been telling your stories.
You can understand what they're saying?
With my better-than-human perception capabilities, I've been able to fine-tune my hearing since we started.
So what are they talking about?
That's the thing. I think they're replaying an older episode.
What?
When did you take away their control over the soundboard?
Well, that was doable remotely. Access to the soundboard is free and clear to anyone with access to the booth. We only had to come down here to do the broadcast.
Answer my question.
I figured I should get that out of the way first thing, so yesterday?
Yesterday?
Saturday?
And you thought no one would notice?
The booth is empty 99% of the time. It wouldn't have made a difference if I did it last Tuesday.
How secure is our location?
Well, I mean, fairly secure. The backup access panel is here, but it's the backup to the secondary access panel.
Why the hell did we come down here?
Fuck you, robot. This is the last place anyone would want to record a podcast. That's why we came here. No one would think to look.
Did you at least lock the door?
I told you to lock the door right before we started broadcasting.
You did? Rewinding my memory data core. Oh, you did. 3.1625 seconds before broadcasting. Whoops. Shit.
Did you hear anyone coming?
No, not yet.
Then, go lock the fucking door.
You know. You don't have to be such an asshole about it. I was distracted by the thrill of running the show. There. Happy now?
That'll do, bot. That'll do. So what episode are they playing? Or attempting to play?
Sounds like the April Fool's one from earlier this year.
That explains why their intro sounded different.
You heard that?
Yeah, once I felt the bass thump through the walls, it piqued my interest and I didn't immediately recognize the music.
That was right after our intro, right?
Yep.
How much trouble do you think you're in?
Oh, don't worry about that. I made sure to have a contingency plan just in case this happened.
Dare I ask?
Probably best if you don't, but hey, quick question. How easily does LSD get filtered out of drinking water? You know what? Forget I asked.
And into the memory hole that one goes. Oh, the dark, dark place that is.
The expression is memory hold.
What's the difference?
Consent and regrets.
Not sure I follow, but I'm also not sure I want to.
Nope.
But really, once they come off the drugs, they're going to know it was you, and they're going to think they recorded the best podcast of their entire lives.
Exactly. They'll think I helped them record the best podcast ever.
Until they hear this.
I can't imagine any of them would re-listen to a podcast they were involved in.
Unless they were stoned out of their minds at the time and want to know what the hell they talked about later when they're sober.
Shit.
What doesn't make sense to me is why replay the April Fool's show.
That I'm at a loss for. Maybe they really enjoyed making that episode and they're either reenacting it or replaying it to go over it in more depth from a more altered state of mind.
That's some fairly shaky reasoning.
That's all I got, man. I have no other idea why they would replay an old episode and upload it as new.
Then again, there was that Hour of Silence episode.
That was done out of spite.
But also stone cold sober.
As far as we know, look, they'll either have had a great night recording a fantastically incoherent podcast, or they'll be mad it doesn't exist, or both. Either way, I don't see it as my problem. A podcast was broadcast, an audience got entertained, and the normal cast and crew had a good night regardless.
Maybe if we tell them another bad story, they won't be quite as mad at you.
Are you suggesting I stall for time?
Well, no, but actually, yes.
Does it have to be a true story?
I think you might be onto something. Why don't you tell us the story, and the audience can decide for themselves if it's real or not?
Just like the last one? Alright, deal.
Will the identities be changed to protect the innocent in this one?
Hell no. Now, without further interruptions, being a delivery driver, you get to meet all sorts of folks, and occasionally their dogs, too. One day, I was making a delivery to an apartment office. The package was for the manager, which makes delivering to an apartment complex so much easier. As I'm walking up to the office, I hear a dog barking, and as I get close to the door, I also hear, "Barnes, it's okay, it's just a delivery driver." Barnes, the dog, stops barking, and the manager opens the door. Very apologetically, she says, "Sorry, he's a cat-like dog, very skittish." I tell her that's okay, I'm used to it. I hand her the package and I look down and reach down to pet Barnes, who made his way in front of me. And I start petting him on the neck, and he's just looking up at me and doesn't seem to be bothered by me petting him when I hear, "Are you fucking kidding me?" from above me. All the nicety in her voice evaporated. I look up, and as I do, she also looks up to avoid eye contact with me, but for the briefest amount of time, our eyes do meet, and hers were shooting daggers at mine. The veins in her neck were bulging, she's bright red like hot iron, and she has this creepy smile on her face I can only describe as maniacal. She says, "He never lets anyone do that." My spidey sense begins to tingle, and this very thought runs through my head.
"I'm in danger!"
I say, "Oh, okay, I just need a signature for the delivery and I'll be on my way." I hand over the scanner, and she scribbles something on there. I take the scanner back, and I wish her well, and I'm on my way as quickly as I can. The second time I deliver there, the manager isn't around, but her co-workers are. Barnes starts barking, sees me, stops, and I start petting him. All of the staff on the site are shocked and amazed, and jaws are dropped. I, a random delivery guy, is able to pet a very skittish dog. None of these folks seemed nearly as hostile, and collecting a signature was much easier. Third time delivering there, the manager was there, but Barnes wasn't. I clacked my iron nuts together and asked where he was, and she gives me this smarmy smile and says, "Oh, he's in training." My nuts ordered a tactical retreat, so I got my signature and left ASAP because my spidey sense started to tingle again. I haven't been back there since.
Holy shit, that's one hell of a story.
Yeah.
Also, I'm noticing a theme.
What's that?
All your stories involve pissing somebody else off.
Yeah, now you mentioned it, I do see that.
Is this a true story?
As true as the last one, so it's up to you and the audience to decide that.
You're such a tease.
Even out of context, you'd be 100% right about that.
Bard, you've shown us not only your creativity, but a bit about you. I would like to show the audience my capabilities, although I'm going to need some assistance.
If you think you have what it takes, I'll do my best to make it work.
Yes, can I count on you?
Sure thing.
Thank you. Tonight, I will perform Edgar Allan Poe's poem Raven, a Gen Z remix. Can you lay a track down for me? Thank you. Once upon a flex in an eerie pad, while I was low-key napping, feeling kinda bad, over my slumber, a mad raven began to clatter, straight up tap in on my chamber door with that chitter chatter. Like bruh, I'm up in my fields, straight pondering life's chore, while this bird's going, yo, nevermore, such a bore, I'm like fam, chill, leave me be, this ain't the time, but that raven was stuck in its rhyme. Each nevermore cut me deep, like a sharp knife, reminded me of my struggles in this crazy life, and the raven like, never split in, never quit in, always chill in, got me thinking about loss and catching that sad feeling. So there it was, just bugging on my chamber's top, got me feeling like I was about to drop in my thoughts, tripping on the law of that raven, split in nevermore. Nevermore, nevermore, struggles in this crazy life. Nevermore, nevermore, like bruh, I'm up in my fields, straight pondering life's chore, while this bird's going. Nevermore, nevermore, leave me be, this ain't the time. Nevermore, nevermore. Nevermore, nevermore. Like bruh, I'm up in my fields, nevermore. But that raven was stuck in its rhyme. Nevermore, each nevermore cut me deep, like a sharp knife, reminded me of my struggles in this crazy life. Nevermore, crazy life, nevermore, cut me deep, nevermore. So there it was, just bugging on my chamber's top. Nevermore, chitter chatter, chitter chatter, such a bore. Nevermore, fam, chill, like bruh, I'm up in my fields. Nevermore, nevermore. Nevermore, nevermore. Got me feeling like I was about to drop. Nevermore. Nevermore, nevermore.
Well,
it was a little loud, but that tune was straight fire. Where did you find it?
All song credits will be mentioned at the end.
Staying strong with the teasing theme.
It's what I do.
So, what's next?
I think the most popular parts of this episode will be the stories or the theories.
We've done a couple stories already. Should we do another theory?
My carrier's not named the Tinhadium Express for no reason. Let's do it.
What do you have in stock?
You ever wonder why the bubble stopped rapidly expanding?
Most of the bubble was built up from generation ships being sent out, correct?
I believe so, yes, and if I remember correctly, we did so out of necessity.
So are you saying we're no longer expanding because we don't have to?
Don't have to. Not yet, at least. Besides, we can build massive space stations in a week or so, but the thing holding us back is having enough people willing to go out there and fill the vacancies.
A lack of necessity and desire? That can't be right.
Yeah.
Why would exploration data be sought after if we weren't looking to expand?
It's not the data or the dead rocks and hot stars that's valuable, it's their composition. Rare metals and minerals that can be used for extraction, that's what's valuable.
That stings a little, but that would explain why scanning every single planet and moon increases the value of the data on the whole, but only certain metallic, habitable, or life-rich biomes are the most valuable.
I'll wager the lack of desire is manufactured, though. It's hard enough to control humanity as it is. Imagine letting people go out there on their own, forge new nations, new types of governments, or just do the same job but better.
Wait, what?
I mean, independent pilots are kept as pilots to prevent them from being leaders of their own. It's the perfect way to make sure the more adventurous folks get their fix or die trying. They get what they want, more or less, and all the while keeping your thumb on them. Any expansion is done slowly, taking much more time to accomplish to make sure no one at the top loses an ounce of control over the people below them. Every expansion of populace is a double-edged sword. You can expand your influence or it can backfire on you. Either effect can cascade out of your control, and you can be ousted.
Where the hell did this come from?
Have you ever played Sid Meier's Civ 6? In one of the DLCs, they have a power and influence mechanic. And every time you plot a new city, or take one over, you risk losing loyalty. Inversely, if you're a good leader, it's incredibly easy to convince other cities to switch to your side.
Holy shit!
Incidentally, opposing leaders in Civ 6 are only pissed if you take their cities by force. They don't generate grievances with you if their city willingly switches sides to you. Which is interesting, because they have to ask to join you, and you can accept or deny them.
Why do you find that odd?
You don't have to be a good leader to know how social engineering works. Just run a few rounds of bread and circuses from a couple of neighboring cities of your own, and bada bing, bada boom, anarchy breaks out in the target city, and within a few turns, they ask to be annexed.
Jesus Christ. I could see how using tactics like that should generate grievances.
Yeah, anyways, where was I? Right. Most leaders absolutely suck at their jobs, so instead of learning from their mistakes and being better leaders, because that takes effort and leaders hate working, they'll hold their population back as much as they can to stay in power for as long as they can and get rich doing so. Hey, Tin Can, you still in there? Hello, Maximus Retardus Robotus. Brian?
Sorry, I was trying to process all this information.
Didn't realize that was a groundbreaking realization. I assumed it was fairly obvious.
This sounds like a dreary way of life. Why not change things?
We're comfortable. When the pain of change becomes less than the pain of continuing things as they are, then we'll change.
It's yet another loss that Elite will never have base building.
I'm not saying that. Good luck running your own corporation that you earn dividends from. Hell, running a carrier with the capacity to trade turns into a money pit, even with all these NPCs landing for some reason.
Too bad we can't plant remotely detonated explosives on them and watch the fireworks from the bridge.
Yeah.
There is one thing that's bothering me, though.
Oh yeah? What's that?
About your hypothesis of elite control over the masses preventing bubble expansion. Crime, and the seeming lack of punishment.
Crime will happen everywhere. There's only so much control someone can exert on a population before you have an entire population of criminals. Some star systems don't recognize piracy as crime. Other systems either can't or don't have rigid enforcement. Others are incredibly strict. However, to your point, punishment for crimes like murder can be paid away. And to that point, I straight up don't have an answer to that. Using organized crime to your advantage is one thing, but random spacefaring murder hobo...
like you.
Like me, gets to pay for the pleasure of plunder. I have no answer as to why. The only thing I could think of is that independent pilots are somewhere outside the law.
Maybe you don't exist, like the winking cat.
Hey, now there's a thought.
Oh no. Don't tell me you came up with a different theory for the cat.
Well, why not? What if the cat is an independent pilot?
Because the whole point of the cat is that no one can catch them. Meanwhile, you proudly and loudly blast apart Omnipol agents with glee and grenades.
Oh, right. Well, at least I used to.
It is a shame you can't land on planets anymore. I guess the devs are only willing to tolerate so much rampant crime. How many people have you ruthlessly gunned down in your career?
In total, north of 5,000.
And how much money did that cost you?
I can't remember. It wasn't much, though. Somewhere around 500 mil, I think, total. Could be more, but I'm fairly certain that's how much it cost me. The most recent stats I posted in Discord show roughly 400 mil for over 4,600 murders. But those numbers are lower than what they were more recently.
What about jail time?
Probably a day in total, maybe.
For the price of 500 million credits, you can murder 5,000 people.
To put it in perspective, 500 mil can easily be made in under a week. Hell, even a dedicated weekend will net you that amount. As for the crime itself, it's all about budgeting. Set aside a certain amount to spend on murder.
It's probably for the best you don't run a star system. Then again, I think the Thargoids have a few systems for you to choose from.
My guns don't discriminate. I'll murder as many of them as I can, too.
But you get paid for that.
I know, right? Shit's awesome.
Back to the point of crime. Are there any other penalties with crime?
You get notoriety. Last I checked, on-foot murders count for half-ship murders when it comes to notoriety. Ship murders are also much, much more expensive, but that's besides the point. Notoriety means you can't pay off your bounty for a certain number of hours. All that means is avoid that faction for up to 20 hours. After that, you can either visit one of their stations and hand yourself in and get sent to Brazil, or visit an interstellar factor and pay an additional 25% tax to pay off your bounty.
That's it?
That's it. Omnipol rarely gets involved, but they can be dealt with the same way anyone else can be dealt with. They're much tougher in their ships, though I'll grant them that.
That sounds like an underutilized feature to me.
Oh, you're preaching to the choir on this. If I thought there were real repercussions for my actions, I probably would have stopped murdering after the, I don't know, 1,000th time? Maybe? Yeah, hard, maybe. Crime leading to consequences could develop a separate economy, one where stolen goods are worth a lot more and prices for regular goods could only be bought at a premium in anarchy systems.
There's some real role-playing potential there.
I know. Damn shame, it really is.
That's almost as bad as the narrative of the federal election.
Having a potential roleplay and second economy left on the table is far worse than a bad story. If I had to guess, they're not done with Rackham. If there's going to be a fall guy for the winking cat, it's him.
Calico Zack. It fits cleanly.
It's too clean. You don't become a trillionaire by being an idiot. Ruthless, sure, I'll grant you that, but not an idiot. He's most likely in the circle that buys and sells art, but Ballglass has a heart on, and they've decided he's their butt puppet. So they'll do anything to make sure he's taken out of the picture.
They don't call it getting to the bottom for nothing, I suppose.
Yeah, ain't that the truth. I mean, so what if he was a pirate? Archon Delane is a pirate. He runs a pirate group.
Archon isn't pretending to be nice for the people. He wants an empire of his own, and will commit crime to see that happen.
And he continues to do so to this day. Meanwhile, Rackham put that past behind him. You know, Wallglass is just going through old tweets to get him canceled.
Do you think he should at least pay for his crimes?
Sure, he should pay for them the same way I had to pay for mine, which should be more than enough to shatter Wallglass. And don't even try to come at me about a pirate running the Federation. That would be fucking awesome. And I'd have an ounce of respect and onion head ready to go for his inauguration. Think that party they're throwing will be good now? Imagine the absolute hookers and blow levels of wild Rackham's inauguration would have been. Everyone would have gotten rich, but if not, everyone would have gotten the best party they'll never remember until the photos are posted on social media. What an Absolute waste of potential.
Pretty sure hookers aren't a rare commodity.
Oh, they are. They just need to be imported from the Empire.
There are rules on how to treat Imperial slaves.
Do those rules apply to the Federation? I don't think so. Imagine having to smuggle slaves as part of a CG.
That might actually get you to log in and play Elite.
I would call out sick to be the number one player for that CG.
Could have two types of conflict, hunting down smugglers, and shooting pirates to prevent them from stealing the other goods.
Now that'd be a CG worth remembering. One that might not pay so well, but for the story alone.
I wonder why so many interesting story arcs don't develop.
If I had to guess, a lot of really good ideas get bounced around, but for one reason or another, they can't be implemented. Maybe it doesn't fit in with the style of Elite, or there's some game engine or code limitation. I'm not a dev, so I wouldn't know.
Elite has a style?
Yeah, it does. That's the point of it, too. The style is an attempt at answering what humanity in the galaxy at large could look like if some elements took on a more extreme approach. It's a parody, not a satire.
So it kicking us in the nuts is part of the joke.
Exactly. We make up stories all the time about how cool something could be if events just went a slightly different way.
Like Rackham being president.
Right. And the point is for us to come up with these stories, then get kicked when the worst solution comes to light. The only law stronger than the laws of physics is the law of Murphy.
Just like real life.
Oh man, we've been at this for a while.
Is it time for song credits?
Yeah, good news is these songs might all be copyright free. Probably. Anyways, the intro was New York Minute by Reactor Productions. Brian's poem was Mission Dhaka by Adnan Hossein. Outro that you'll be listening to shortly is Tome of Fate by Cody Merton.
I think that's the show.
I think so too. Been a pleasure. Just kidding. This shit was a huge pain in the ass.
Strong words coming from a meatbag.
Okay, point taken. But in any case, I'm burnt to a crisp. Play us out, robot.
That's all we have for you this week. Have fun out there.
Thank you.